Funky Kid, podcast number 22. I'm Loy Lee.
Yes, I'm Winston, and welcome to another great podcast. This week, we'll have some great articles for you, and I'll be spewing out some info on the IDF Beijing 2011, which I attended last week.
Which is why we need to apologize that we didn't have a podcast last week, because Winston was too busy living it up in Beijing.
Yes, it was 2 days of keynotes, demos, and some interesting announcements. I'll tell you more about that in a sec. Also, in this podcast, I'll show you some information on how to back up your iPhone contacts. Or
get a Mac.
Access those lost contacts from your iPhone backup. There's also a review on the MSI GeForce GTX 560 Ti Golden Edition, and also the MSI Big Bang Marshall, the new P67B3 stepping chipset with the motherboard. So, and interesting reviews on those. Bob Nova's got some great articles as well. I'll mention that in a sec. And also, we have a new member on our editorial team, and he's Calcula, aka Dexter. He's from
Calcula or Calcutta.
He's from he's a student from Texas, and he knows a lot about gaming as well as some enthusiast hardware, graphics card. And he's written a great article on video cards. All those terms that you don't understand, he explains it all in this article. So I'll tell you more about that.
Set up a Steam account, doesn't he?
Yes, it's a Funky Kid Steam account. So any Steam players, with the account for Steam, you can go log in and sign up and join up and be part of this gaming community if you wanted. So go and check that out in our forums. And I'll mention some more interesting news on our competition, which is going about to end next week, and a start of a new competition for the following month. And and then Loy will mention a lot of news, top tablets, mobile phones, Apples, and all sorts of stuff. So we'll kick off with the IDF. Yes, Beijing IDF 2011 is the first one of the year. The second one will be in San Francisco later on the year, around about September time. Intel invited us last week to go up there to have a look at what's interesting with Intel development. Cool. They've mentioned the new Atom Z670 processor, which is the new mobile processors for mobile devices. And tablets.
When's that going to be released?
Netbooks. They announced it this month. We'll see samples coming out in the next month or two. Retail products will probably hit the summer. So you'll have the new netbooks with this Atom processor, the Z670, coming out this summer. What's the difference? Well, they've narrowed the processing of these chips. So in other words, the processors of the silicon wafers and so on. So we'll have new chips.
Yep.
So So these new chips will have better power saving. So that means better battery life for your netbooks and possibly tablets. There's interesting. Intel is developing this new app developers a program for MeeGo. And what MeeGo is a new, well, I don't say new, but it's an OS for tablets and mobile devices, which has been around for a while. It was part of the Nokia partnership there, but it's kind of branched out on its own. It's Linux-based, but Intel took this on and really, really give it all its support on it. So we'll see more MeeGo devices coming soon. So now in the market, we'll have Intel / MeeGo. We'll have Google Android. Apple iOS, BlackBerry, and this BlackBerry OS. So lots of interesting developments there with different mobile devices and OSs. We'll see how this develops, because MeeGo hasn't been that popular in the Western countries. Very popular in Asia. You'll see lots of MeeGo devices on handsets, mobile phones. MIDs over here, but never really took off in developed countries. So we'll see how that develops. With Intel's backing, I think it could go somewhere. It could go somewhere
if Intel backs it. Yes, but then isn't it the app developers that need to be pushing it? And does Intel really have the power to push it?
Yeah, I
to
think
the
so.
Developers. I mean, they can they've got lots of money behind them, so they can, you know, get these device manufacturers producing the devices and stuff. But then, when are they actually going to be, you know, at that point where they can compete with Android, who are also considered, you know, who don't have a catalog of applications compared to Apple?
Yeah, I think the driving force behind all of this is apps. If you haven't got the apps, then your OS and all your developers and you know, the support for this new OS never really take off. You know, I mean, luckily for Apple, iOS has always been quite strong, and the app developments and the apps are the main selling point. You know, you buy an iPhone, you buy an iPad, it's all about the apps. And the same with the Android. Android's app development and app developers and the apps that come with it are slowly growing. And I mean, lots of new interesting apps. Whereas BlackBerry Playbook have only just been launched. They specialize obviously in BlackBerry apps. How that develops and whether developers will jump on that, who knows? But I think the BlackBerry Playbook tablets and the phones, I mean, they're more business based, business suited, you know. So again, different types of applications. I don't think a lot of people would buy a BlackBerry Playbook to play games, you know, or anything like that. And the same with the Mego, with the Intel supporting Mego now. I think Intel have always been the business solution, you know, for PCs and things like that. So I think Mego,
but not in the mobile space. I mean, people give credit to BlackBerry because they have got the influence, and they have got a possible chance of succeeding only because of the existing contracts and in the mobile space for business. But Intel doesn't have that. They have contracts and they have developments with hardware developers, because they're traditionally they'll make the hardware for, you know, these companies, but then it's the end contract that's going to be making. If you can't sell the hardware, then who's going to buy, you know, who's going to adopt?
I think Amigo might have a chance, because I mean, well, who's supporting them is Intel. I mean, they literally own 70 or more percent of the market in terms of PCs, as well as, you know, chips, microprocessors and things like that, and they've always been the forefront of technology. You know, but are they specialized or specialist in that type of OS? Are they into the software development? I think they might do pretty well. We'll see. You know, without,
okay, let's make a bet live on there now. I'll give them a year and a half. So summer next year, 2012. I reckon Mego will be dead.
I think Mego will be more specialist for different mobile devices. I don't think you'll see Mego as a main platform, but rather a specialist platform. Yeah.
Specialist to who?
You know, things like they develop Mego apps for vending machines and things like that, you know, which you think, ah, that's pants. But think about it.
That is pants, because you need the actual end user to be using that device to actually make use, you know, to make any profits.
True.
I mean, they've had, you know, mobile phones being able to talk to vending machines for a long, long, long while, even before all these smartphones come along. But then it's because the end user didn't adopt it, then this technology dies.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Again, I think, you know, Apple are way too far ahead. And Android's close, catching up close. We'll see. I think it'll be an interesting development there. But yeah. Intel Development Forum is all about those type of discussions about, you know, app development in server processors. They're still supporting the Itanium. People are saying that it was dead, but they're still supporting them. And now it's rather than a higher end processor for servers, they're saying that it's a different option. So you now have Xeons, and then you have these Itanium as well. So you have a choice of processors for your servers.
Yeah.
And then I think the biggest announcement was the Atom Z670, which is, you know, interesting. you know, as I said, better battery life, lower power consumption. You'll find these devices, these chips in mobile devices and netbooks by the summer. So we'll see how far it'll take it. I'm not sure whether it'll be in tablets, and the reason why it'll be in Windows-based tablets, of course.
Isn't it designed for tablets though?
Well, I'm thinking, well, they have to radically change the architecture, because the Z670 or any Atom-based processors are still based on the x86 code,
right?
Architecture, which means that it's CISC-based. And I mentioned a couple of podcasts ago, CISC is complex instructions, which is x86 and stuff like that, which means more cycles per instruction, more.
And so need to dumb it down.
Which basically generates more heat. And if it's more heat, imagine holding a tablet which generates a lot of heat. You know? Whereas the current tablets that we have right now are produced by ARM, Samsung, and other. But they're based on RISC processors, and the reduced instructions means less cycles. And that means less heat. That's
but
why.
But doesn't that. How does that translate to in terms of the end result of what these things are producing?
Well, right now, I mean, you can get 10 hours use on your iPad, right? And even a dual core iPad 2, same battery life. With an Atom, current Atoms, not the new one, you probably get maybe 2-3 hours on a netbook.
But
the tablets.
How about the capabilities of what they actually produce? The same or?
Well, the current tablets with using the Atom are all Windows based. So you got Windows applications running. Right, so that's the nicety of it. You can use Windows applications. You can still run Word and things like that. Maybe a little bit slow, but still, you can run or you basically run anything that's on your netbook on a tablet, running a Atom processors.
So these new processors, these RISC processors, basically force the developers to write more intelligent code. Is that what you're saying, or is it
for app developers? It probably takes a little bit longer on a RISC based system
because they have to be more efficient with the
code. Yes. Whereas an Atom, I mean, you can literally program a Windows application with the specialist language programs and compilers, and you can pretty much convert anything to a Windows based app very quick.
Understand. Got it.
So. So that's the kind of main difference. Correct me if I'm wrong. So any listeners out there thinking I'm talking rubbish, then you can send in your comments and correct me. But I think that's where it's all at, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. So Intel Development Forum, we saw quite a few new gadgets. Not much. There's one interesting gadget from Razer. It's not a tablet. It's a mini netbook type of thing with a screen. And also, these buttons are not actually keys. They are keys, but they're like little logos. And you can program these keys with different logos, and you can use them for gaming. That was quite interesting. A lot of new Windows-based tablets, which is using the new Z670 processor. Apart from that, Intel was demoing their Thunderbolt data connection. They had a MacBook Pro. The new version, a new version of Mac Pro running the Thunderbolt. They were streaming video, high definition video, 1080p, as well as recording and decoding at the same time. So in and out, demoing up to 10 gigabits per second. So that's super fast. Yeah. And they're still supporting USB 3. So still supporting USB 3 and this Thunderbolt. So lots of things happening. I think the main Beijing IDF was all about China and Asia market. And then we'll see more interesting stuff like the Ivy Bridge and the other things in the San Francisco IDF, which is later on in the year.
Yeah.
So that's that. Okay, moving on. Review. Yes, we reviewed the MSI GTX 560 Ti, a golden edition, Forza 2. Basically, it's the new cooling system that they have on this GeForce GTX 560 Ti. And it's made of copper, this cooling solution, all copper, with four heat pipes, and it's it reduces the temperature quite well. I mean, we managed to put a load of graphics running, full load, and hitting around about 50 odd degrees, which isn't too bad.
Not too bad, yeah.
Normally, you're looking at about 60 odd to 70 odd degrees, but with this cooling solution, it brings it right down. I noticed that the memory was running slightly faster as well, so it's overclocked slightly, and which means better performance.
Yeah.
So it's an overclocked GeForce GTX 560, and check out the review. Some interesting results there. And the other review we had was the MSI Big Bang Marshall B3, and what that is, it's the new motherboard with the new P67 chipset, B3 stepping. So Intel's managed to fix this new chipset, the P67 chipset, with the SATA problem that we had last time.
Yeah.
So this new chipset fixes that problem, and they put it into this new motherboard, the MSI Big Bang Marshall B3. And we chucked a Core i5 2500K.
Yeah.
And we basically see how far I get overclocked, and it's amazing. I mean, we just bumped up the voltage, left everything as default, and managed to overclock the processor to, well, default is 3.3. We managed to overclock to 4.8 on air cooling. So amazing. Wow. Yeah, pretty much good.
Sustainable then?
Yeah, it's rock solid stable, no problems at all. Didn't even get any crashes. It was loaded the Windows in a flash. The only other problem, well, I'm saying a problem, is that the board is not a standard ATX board, you know, size. It's a new standard which haven't seen before, to be honest with you, and it's called the XL ATX. So slightly larger in terms of the length. I mean, if you look at check out the review and you see the photos and the screenshots and the photo gallery, you'll see what I mean. Slightly longer. So you make sure that if you're going to get this motherboard, make sure that your ATX case is suitable. So your pinholes and the mount screws are slightly offset, slightly different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that. But yeah, amazing motherboard. I loved it. It's got loads of features and it's crazy. I mean, you know, but the price is quite, you know, quite high. You're looking at just under $400 just for this motherboard. So you're looking at about £250-300 for this motherboard. Yeah. So fairly expensive. But the performance is amazing. So we give it an editor's choice just for the features, performance.
And any other reviews?
So those are the two reviews we've done. That is basically it for this week. Next week we got a few more. But talking about other interesting content on our site, Bob Nova's written an article on you know, the overclocking, and so check out that. Yeah, so the bottleneck between the graphics card and your processor. People don't know or don't realize that there's bottlenecks between the systems. So you think you get the fastest graphics card, you get the fastest motherboard and the chip, you think everything's all good, but then there's bottlenecks between the systems. So Bob Nova's written an article explaining a bit about that, so interesting read, so go check that out. Also, we have a new member called Cowkiller, I mentioned, and his real name is Dexter. He's a student from Texas.
Yeah.
And he's helped us with the explaining some of the video card terms and jargon. So check out the article which he's written on video cards. He's an avid gamer, and he's actually set up a Steam account which allows our community who's into gaming to join the Steam account. There's a profile on the Steam account page. Go
check that out. Does
that
mean you're going to start your gaming again?
not really, no. I've had my times on gaming. I kind of, I won't say old for that, but it's just, I'm no good at gaming. Yeah. I'm always the one that gets all the headshots. You know, that's me, man, getting headshot all the time. But,
yeah. I haven't played Counter-Strike for so many years. And I'm afraid to I still have a Steam account with all my old games loaded up on there, and I'm a bit scared to load it up, because although I'm on a Mac, I know Steam works on the Mac now as well, not as well as, you know, a PC, but I'm scared to log in because I know that's going to be the end of days.
So yeah, some interesting articles on our site. Go and check it out. And the community is growing as we speak, and it's thanks to you guys out there who's really put in a hand to help the community grow. Without you guys, I think, you know, we wouldn't be here. But you know, we want to give you as much content, as much news, as much interesting reviews as we can. And any feedback is welcome. Any comments are also welcome too. Interestingly, at the end, or we don't do it next week actually, we'll announce the winner of our competition, the Crucial Memory, yes, Crucial Ballistics Tracer DDR3 1600 4K kit. And we'll be announcing a winner next week. Loy will be announcing the winner actually next week.
Will I? Oh, I will be, yes, sure.
And the following month, we'll have a goodie bag from the recent trip I went to the Beijing IDF. It's a Intel IDF rucksack with a water bowl, a 4 gig
USB thumb drive,
and there's a load of other things inside. So we'll mention that in our next podcast. Yeah.
Did you pick up any paper underwear while you were there in China?
Oh, there's loads of paper things like. Like you know, notebooks. Not notebooks as in the notebook, but as in you have to write, physically write.
Oh, yes, pen and paper.
Yes, pen and paper notebooks. So there's a couple of those in there. But yeah, I mean, we want to give something back to our community, you know. So with the memory competition, also the IDF rucksack. So it's not, you know, depending on the prizes, we can always give. We can we'll see what's available. But yeah, so those are the topics we've mentioned. Any interesting on your side? Any tablets news? Any Apple news?
Oh, the first thing that I wanted to mention was Cisco.
Cisco, yes.
Flip camera.
Yes, dead.
Dead.
What happened?
Less than a year. I don't know. I mean, people questioned the fact that Cisco, a networking company, buys like a consumer device for like stupid amounts of money and then...
Scraps
behold
it.
Yeah, and scraps it like less than a year later.
Why can't they sell it on? Well, nobody want to buy it.
Basically, yeah, because I mean the cameras on mobile phones.
Yeah, they're getting really good.
They're almost, if not better than a flip camera these days, and nobody really wants to carry two devices around. And then, yeah. I mean, the flip camera is not. Absolutely, you know, the smallest device. It's pretty small compared to like camcorders and stuff. However, your iPhone, your mobile phone, which records 720p, is equally as small, if not smaller, with a bigger screen.
So yeah, so you could basically record anything on your mobile phone these days. I don't understand why the flip camera was a sort of a gadget or a product in the first place. I mean, where was the market for that? Because you could do the same thing on your camera anyway.
There was a market for it, and I was tempted. I was on the verge to buy a flip camera myself, you know?
What's so different about it?
It's just the fact that it's small and easy and, you know, but then...
Does it do recording as in film, as in video?
Yeah, it does all that.
Yeah.
It just does one feature, but really good. But then people don't need that, you know, because your camera takes... video now and your mobile phone takes video.
Yeah, so. It was a strange that they just initially bought the company out just to sell that kind of stuff and then suddenly just scrap it. It was just weird.
I know, well, 530 million they bought the company for, so that's a big F up.
Yeah. What's so interesting is a lot of these large companies, they buy these smaller companies to expand on their market and into the, you know, different areas, not realizing that they need to put money into it to develop further. And that is exactly what happened with the Skype and eBay, right? eBay buys Skype and kind of just left it and then nothing happens. And then
I think they had originally, you know, plans to develop it and everything, but then they soon realized that, you know, eBay buyers and eBay sellers don't really want to communicate. They just want to get their stuff and get the hell out of there, you know? And then they were like, okay, what do we do now? And then they sat on it and then they thought about it and then they tried, you know,
yeah.
They didn't get to try anything because people were just like, no, seriously, I don't want to talk to the buyer of my products because my stuff is secondhand and is falling apart. So if I have communication, then they're not going to buy. So just leave me alone. And then
And this is the strange thing. I mean, have you heard the story about the Facebook now? I remember last time it was valued at 40 billion and now it's 50 billion. Now it's valued at 80 billion now, Facebook.
Yeah. Someone else invested. I can't remember which company.
But I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, and there's loads of people suing Facebook. There's one guy, he claims he owns 50%.
That was a stupid story. I don't know why that's believed, because this is like, this is ridiculous. I can't remember. Do you remember the story?
It's basically this guy, I can't remember his name, but he's the one that paid Mark Zuckerberg to develop programs and apps and things like that. And something similar along the lines, again, Facebook. And he loaned him or put in $1,000 or something like that into this thing, into this project. And but then there was some emails about him saying, what you're demanding is too much, blah, blah, blah. You can't just take 80% or 70% of the company because of delays. I tell you what, let's call it a ballpark figure. You can have 50% of the company. But the thing is, at the time, Facebook wasn't even fully developed. It was just like, you know, it's basically exactly what's happened with the Winklevoss brothers and Eduardo and sort of stuff like that. You know, where it was in the early days and it's only after then, you know, it became a big, but you know, it's one of those things. It'll get thrown out. Yeah,
you know. Seriously.
Crazy.
Seriously.
And then Apple, this is the funny story about Apple suing everyone this week.
Apple suing Samsung, oh my god. Yeah, that's just another random, let's get some readers onto our website because Apple's been quiet.
Yeah. But it's just odd that Samsung's supplying all the hardware, like memory chips and SSDs and the A5, A4 chips, and then suing them. That's just crazy. But again, it's all that gossip / you know, rumors and story and headlines.
You should start writing articles like that. You get a lot more readers.
just make up some, well, I'm going to say make
rumors,
up
man.
Rumors, isn't it? And making a fuss over something stupid, you know? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's stories for you. But tablets, yeah. What about the Playbook tablet that's recently launched officially?
No idea.
Well,
has it been launched?
Yeah, it's a 7-inch Playbook tablet thing, isn't it? And obviously running BlackBerry OS, and people were saying whether it had a, you know, the gyroscope, you know, the motion thing on it, and actually it does have it. The website iFixit.com takes it apart, and it's basically just like any other tablet. Again, apps will be playing a major crucial role whether it'll be a success or not. So we'll see. I'm still thinking whether to buy a tablet. I've been thinking about it for the whole year.
You need to get a smartphone first, mate.
Windows
Mobile 6.
Come on,
seriously.
I thought it was 6.1, but it's not. It's actually 6.
So it's even worse. You know, you've got a stylus with your phone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm still using that. But it works. It makes my phone calls, and that's about it. I mean, it hasn't even got Wi-Fi. I mean, no.
Has it got Bluetooth?
It hasn't got Wi-Fi. It hasn't got GPS. It has Bluetooth. Actually, it does. But what can I do with it?
You sure?
Yeah, I think it's not the 2.0. It's all even 2.1. It's the Bluetooth 1. Something. Yeah, it's old. It's about 4 years old, but again, this brings me to the point where I read an article on how to extract your iPhone contacts if you made a backup on your PC or Mac via iTunes.
Buy a Mac. You don't need a Mac, because with a Mac, you sync your phone and your contacts are automatically synced with your address book anyway.
Yeah, but the thing is, it doesn't do it with the on the PC. I couldn't find a setting where you can actually sync it with your. There is actually, but I haven't played around with it. However, if you don't know how to, you can read the article. There's a program you can download. It's free. It extracts all your contacts and you can dump it into an Excel file as well. So it's pretty good.
That's pretty geeky. But doesn't on the iPhone you can sync your Google contacts with iTunes, and that keeps everything in sync. Sunk.
Yeah, sync, but sunk. Imagine you don't have your iPhone anymore, like me, and I got a couple of numbers I need to get. I haven't actually sunk it with or synced it with my address book. So basically, I have a whole, I have an iTunes backup of my iPhone, which I can't access, but the contact details are there. So this article will show you how to do that. Yeah, so you can extract audio contacts and put it into your Excel sheet. Also, there's a whole load of information on there you can access, like notes, as well as pictures. Is it pictures? Yeah, and a couple of things as well, all the media files. So interesting read. Go check that out. It's on our website.
Yeah. Also, coming up next would be, Adobe.
Adobe, yeah. Explain to me about this
monthly subscription.
Subscription thing, yeah.
Subscription, yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, so what's the price of Adobe Master Collection, CS5? It's roughly about, I don't know, $1,000?
Yeah.
I'm taking a wild guess here. I don't know. I don't actually know the price. I'm just making this up. So it's expensive. So you get the whole suite. But what if they said, I'll rent you a monthly license for $129.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go through the suite. You can decide which programs you need, which programs you don't need. And then you can cut out the programs that you don't need and then say, okay, actually, I only knew you use Photoshop. And they say, okay, no worries. $35 a month, and you can just rent that application.
Yeah. They should have done that a while back. I mean, Microsoft did that quite a while back with the Office. You know, you could actually... it wasn't subscription based. It was you pay a fee and you can use it online via their cloud / online usage. And this with Adobe, then I think it's interesting. It'll reach out to more users, students, and occasional users, which is the main thing. Yeah, you know, the occasional user wants to touch up their photos and editing things.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty good deal, and it's kind of going, towards the App Store type subscription based thing. Because if you think, okay, you don't get a subscription with the App Store as it stands on the Mac. However, you do get subscriptions on the iPhone in terms of like magazines and newspapers and stuff like that. So slowly, even Adobe with their millions and billions of dollars that they're earning from all these application suites, they go in, cut everything down, make everything modular. People can buy this, try this, and that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting how it's gone full circle, because years ago I used to buy CMVG. Do you remember that magazine? I don't know if you remember.
Yeah. No, that's a bit too, I think I wasn't born then.
Computer and video games. Yes, computer video games.
Oh, yeah,
CMVG.
Yeah,
yes, yes. And people used to pay. Subscription, yeah. You buy.
I used to spend so much money on magazines every month.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's right. They were, I can't remember back then. I think it was £1.20, £1.50, which is around about $2. I pay a yearly subscription, and you get. They'll say, "Oh, pay 12 months, and you get 13 or 14 months of free monthly magazines." So every month, I would get this new, obviously, the new magazine, and this is a subscription base. So now, forward, I don't know, 20 years, and this is the same thing, but doing it digitally. So now we'll see, obviously, your tablets now, you can subscribe a monthly subscription to get your new content, which is, people say, internet should be free, content should be available to everyone. But then you got to think about, the people who has actually spent their blood and guts writing up the content, producing the articles. And luckily for us, I mean, we don't mind giving all this content out. I mean, this is what we're all about. It's a community-based sort of site where we want to give you the content, and what we want really in return, not from you guys, because you're the guys that are supporting it, what we want from the vendors and the manufacturers products that we're reviewing is to support us in, to keep it going. And this is the difficulty part, which is quite sad, really. Certain vendors are like, with the economic climate, they're not willing to spend or support in terms of funding and things like that. But still, we're going to do as much as we can. And with your support, guys, we'll do our best. So that's the one thing. Tell us more about some of the content you've read about on.
Other stuff. This is a bit weird, this story. Microsoft had their kind of developer forum type thingy in the US this week or last week, and they were showing off Internet Explorer 10.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. I'm confused, because when did they release Internet Explorer 9?
Oh, that was mid-March. Yeah, around about
mid-March. Less than a month ago.
Yeah.
And they're already showing Internet Explorer 10. So, hello?
Yeah. Internet Explorer 10, I think it's just more of an upgrade, to be honest with you. I mean, unless it's some crazy features. I mean, they're going to, enhance HTML5? Are they going to include that? Or have they already included it? It's supposed to be faster browsing, yeah? So currently, if a lot of readers don't realize this, a lot of the websites that you see, what happens is that they get the data from the server, and it's actually the browser that render all the graphics and all the data and the code to give you that web page. Yeah. And obviously the slower the browser, the older the browser, the slower it takes, because it hasn't got it hasn't got those special code or they call algorithms and the APIs to get it working. Whereas the new browsers now, they have special APIs and for certain things like the flash, like the graphics, like the HTML codes and all that kind of stuff. So it gives you a faster browsing experience. And this is where Chrome has been quite successful in boosting the speed of it. And they've somehow managed to get all that kind of stuff and put it optimized it. This is where Microsoft and Internet Explorer has always been the bloated web browser, because it includes everything. Whereas you don't really need to. If you look at Google's Chrome, it's optimized to do certain things, and that's just browse, you know, right?
Yep. But isn't Chrome and Safari based on the same?
I'm not sure. WebKit. I think so, but it could be slightly different. I think Safari has always been. I mean, a lot of the browsers, the back end of it is all based on very similar to Firefox, because Firefox was the original. Well, Mozilla was the browser, wasn't it? Way back in the Netscape days. Remember that?
Yeah.
So they used that engine, and each one developed add-ons or enhanced it. So take the Mozilla browser. Enhanced it with loads of other stuff, then you have Safari. And then Chrome, then same thing. They take the Mozilla browser and then they add bits to it or take bits out, and then you have the Chrome. So it's all based on the back end. I'm not sure whether it still is, but that was how it was before. So if you run if it's a web-based running a website and it allows you to have all that HTML business and all that coding, then yeah. If it runs it, then your browser will see it. But the thing is, with the Internet Explorer, you have all this extra add-ons which you don't need. A lot of crap. And this is why it's slowing down lots of time. So what Microsoft done is to optimize all of it. I haven't used Internet Explorer 9 yet.
But then how can you get people to change over to Internet Explorer 9? When you're already really touting Internet Explorer 10, this again, that's like Windows. What the hell are you doing? You're making like you make the Zune, and then all of a sudden you say, yeah, we'll make the Windows 7 based on the Zune, but then we'll ignore the Zune because the Zune's popular now, so we'll ignore that, and then we'll introduce Windows version 8 or whatever they call it, and then we'll, as soon as people start buying that, then we'll tell them about 9, and then
I think they've caught a sniff of what's happening with Google, and what it is, they realize that the web browser now has become so important that everything will be virtually or web based or browser based. So your current Windows, you have your desktop, your programs running. I mean, your icons in your desktop, and each icon will represent a program. And now, what they're gonna do is they're gonna use not an OS as such, it's OS based browser, but the browser will take control of what's happening on your desktop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means, again, I don't know whether it's faster or not, but again, they kind of like sniffing what's happening with Google and its Chrome OS and so on. However, the other story was that the Internet Explorer 10 is not compatible with the Vista and the older OSs. So they're basically preparing themselves or letting people know that, hey, if you want to start using the new stuff from Microsoft, such as Internet Explorer 10, then you probably have to upgrade your OS. Same with Vista, and also the Windows 7 came with Internet Explorer 8. Now, Windows 8, when they do release it, will come with Internet Explorer 10. See? Yeah?
Yeah, and then by the time you install that and press, you know, launch Internet Explorer 10, then they'll be saying, yeah, we just demoing Internet Explorer 12.
Yeah, it's ongoing. Yeah, it's always like that. Yeah.
But and where's the iPhone 5? Come on, man.
No, it's not going to call the iPhone 5. It's called the iPhone 4GS.
Well, I don't care what it's called. The fifth mobile phone from Apple. I want it. You know, I'm 3GS now, and I keep getting my bloody ISP keeps calling me. Not my ISP, my phone carrier keeps calling me and says, you know, upgrade free for an iPhone 4 and you get 2 years, you know, contract. So I don't want 2 years contract. I want a new iPhone 5.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to happen. They might announce something, you know, in the next developers forum, which is, was it September time? Yeah. iPhone 4GS. a new revision, I guess, with probably a dual core processor. Maybe some funky faster connection, but who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? I want to know. When's the developer forum? The WWDC is in June, I believe.
In June? I thought they have one in September.
No. The developers forum is in June, which normally they announce some of the stuff or release some devices around that time. But yeah, there's no word of an iPhone 5 or 4, 3GS, 4, whatever you call it, or any other devices, just hardware, just software. So, come on, man.
I got a feeling that they might go back to the smooth, rounded design.
I don't think they'll change the design.
I reckon they will. I mean, I don't know, because I still think the smooth, rounded design feels better in your hand.
It does, however, I believe I can fly. No, I believe...
No, but go on.
You know, because they need like 2 years out of the design to get to recoup their money. They can't really change it. But I also believe that because of this, the tsunami in Japan, that they're going to use, maybe, you know, it's some truth to it, but then they can take this opportunity to, you know, delay the actual iPhone and say, look, due to like manufacturing costs and, you know, caused by the tsunami and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, we delay it and whatnot. So...
Well, I think Apple have got, well, they've got a roadmap planned. I mean, it's they got products lined up anyway, so you know, that's not a problem. So yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see interesting products coming out from Apple soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But most interestingly is whether I'm gonna get a tablet. But if I get a tablet,
shut up, Winston, you're not gonna get a tablet. You haven't even got a bloody phone. You've got like a wind-up phone.
I just realized I don't use the phone that much.
Nobody uses the phone that much.
I mean,
but
I'll be honest.
Smartphone.
Yeah, I mean, making calls. I mean, you know, if you buy an iPhone 4 or any of the new the Android phones or the smartphones, they come with like 2-year contracts and you've got like thousands of minutes free. But then I realized, I to be honest with you, I don't make that many calls. You know, and even if I do, most of people I call are actually abroad. So, you know, I can't really use those minutes. So the only way I use calls are either through Skype or through the VoIP system and sub accounts, or just email or text. I mean, not text, as in Facebook or Twitter. But then you still need an internet connection for that, right?
Of course, people don't have a smartphone to use it. As you know, smartphones shouldn't be called smartphones. It should be like computer with telephone.
They should feature. Be called mobile internet devices. That's what they are, right?
Yeah.
With voice. So, you know, you're bound into this stupid contract like for 2 years, paying like, I don't know, $50, $60 in if he was talking about US, and you looked at about $400, $500 maybe on the Hong Kong dollars, or maybe 40 quid or 50 quid in pounds. I mean, you know, and unlimited data. Well, to be honest, they measured, right? They did a study on how much data a mobile phone user or smartphone user use on the you know, internet connection, and an average user with Skyping a lot, and even, you know, Facebook, and you look, it's still looking about 5-6 hours on your mobile, right?
Yeah.
And it never reaches the month, never reaches more than 500 meg, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, so unless all this unlimited data, and or even 1 gig of data, is more than plenty, right?
And No, it's not.
It depends.
I've just upgraded my iPhone account to, like, I don't know what the limit is, but I've just upgraded because I kept going over my data limits. So I've upgraded to the true unlimited.
But thing. How many times do you actually go out and get 3G reception and download data? I mean, everywhere you go, in your house, in your friend's house, or even Starbucks, you have Wi-Fi. So your Wi-Fi takes, whenever there's a Wi-Fi connection, I would prefer to use that. Firstly, it's faster. Secondly, it doesn't cost you that much, right? So, I mean, and it saves on your 3G data. So, to be honest with you, on the 3G data, 500 meg, I think, for me anyway, is more than enough. Oh, unless you go stupid and watch YouTube videos all the time while you're moving about. Would you? I don't know. I wouldn't. Would you?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I do a lot. I do a lot of Facebook, and I do read my RSS feeds on my phone while I'm walking to work and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff being downloaded constantly. Uh-huh. And I do update my apps as well, even when I'm on the go, if I see something interesting.
It's true. It's the apps.
Yeah, and I like to have, you know, if I can use the data, wherever I am, I will use the data. Of course, if I'm close to Wi-Fi, then I'll change over to Wi-Fi. But then it's not always possible to change over Wi-Fi, and especially when you keep moving around. If you're only going into Starbucks to buy a coffee and then you're off again, you're not going to log into the Wi-Fi because it's, you know, too much of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, but I just don't feel honestly comfortable. But I mean, I just don't see the need of paying like all that monthly subscription for something which, you know, it's ridiculous. 3,000-4,000 minutes. I don't even use that. And they're now giving you unlimited text. Now, if you were in the States, that's different. Text is big in the States. So text, yeah. I mean, people text yeah. People
text is not big anymore anyway, because you've got programs like WhatsApp and stuff like that. So that's
true.
That's, you know.
Yeah, so. Oh, mobile phone, huh? I need to get a smartphone.
Yeah.
I saw a Samsung Galaxy Mini.
Yeah,
that was interesting. That was
actually, I had the conversation with my cousin the other day about going back to what we were saying about the Migo.
Oh yeah, right.
This is relevant because he was saying, you know, Android's good. I prefer Android, and I said, like, you've got an iPad. He's like, yeah. And I was like, how much money have you spent on the iPad? And he said, oh, I don't know, maybe 50-60 quid. Downloaded apps. I was like, okay, so you're used to using these apps, and two, you spent 50-60 quid, and you've only had the iPad for since Christmas. And I was like, yeah, I've used my iPhone for 2 years, and before that I had a iPod Touch. So I've 3 years I've used an iDevice, and the amount of money is not that much. Maybe it's, you know, close, less than £200. But then based on those terms anyway, people are less likely to, you know, change over to different devices.
So yeah. I tell you what Apple have basically have an advantage of over the others is the iTunes. iTunes, people download music a lot. I mean, when I had my iPhone first 2 years ago, I just downloaded three, maybe four albums in a week, and then over a month then, and I realized bloody hell, I just spent nearly $200-$300, which are £200 on tunes, on music. That's before even apps. But then I realized that, yeah, I mean, the apps and the tunes I download, I can use it on my phones. Yeah, I treat it as like an iPad, right? I mean, not an iPad, an iPod. So you listen to music. And that's, I think that's the only thing that, well, not the only thing, but that's what Apple has advantage of over the others. If you think about it, has the Android have a music sort of download sort of, you know?
No, but they do have Amazon's streaming thingy, Majiggy.
Yeah, yeah. See, so, I mean, you wouldn't believe it, but music is pretty big as well. I mean, not just the apps. And especially for the younger kids or teenagers where, God, music is their main thing, you know? I mean, you know, apart from games, you know, it's music, yeah, yeah, definitely. So, and that's the only reason I would get an iPhone in the future if I do get one. It's because of the music as well. I mean, you know, it's part of the iPod experience, you know, I mean, as well. So, yeah. Yeah, so.
Right. That's okay. About it then for this week, right?
Yeah, just a recap. Check out the article on the Beijing IDF, which I attended last week. Some interesting read there. Also the review on the GeForce MSI GeForce GTX 560 Ti Golden Edition Froza 2 cooling system. There's the MSI Big Bang Marshall using Intel's new revised P67 B3 stepping chipset. So check out the review on that. Amazing performance, great for overclocking. A couple of articles from Bob Nova regarding the bottleneck between the graphics card, CPU, and motherboard. Also the article on the graphics card, terms and jargon explained by Cowkiller, which is Dexter, student from Texas. A reminder of the competition, winner will be announced next week. So if you're not already signed up to our Facebook page, go in and like our page and sign up to our newsletter. Again, all the details on our website. We'll be announcing the winner next week and also the new competition for next month. So that's that. More reviews next week and more interesting articles. Bob Nova's working on the reviews on triple DDR3 RAM. So ooh, for you guys who have the X58 motherboards and socket 1366 Intel processors, triple DDR3 RAM is your thing. So hopefully we'll have some reviews next week on that. Before I go, obviously, happy Easter. Yes, Easter. So get those eggs out and, you know, chocolate. It's the main thing, isn't it? Bunnies, chocolate, hot cross buns.
Get fat.
Yes, so Easter break. Have a nice Easter break. And we'll see you next week. Yes, next week. Anything else, Lauren?
No, that's about it. So thanks, everyone, for the contributing to the website and all the articles and all the hard work and all the reviews, setting up the Steam, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I know it's not, you know, that much fun doing all the back end stuff, but all your hard work is much appreciated.
Yes, yes, it's the driving force. Thank you very much. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.